Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Though I'm not a farmer, there's something I want to discuss about that's not my expertise, except as a minister of the gospel, as anybody who's in the ministry, is planting seeds. And one of the things is we find out that the scriptures have many different types of seeds. And Genesis 8:22, it says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. That's just two of the words there. But as long as the earth remains, there's a big key point in there. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day, shall never cease. It shall not cease. And I know that we've been hearing all these rumors about global warming and everything coming to a head. But God has created the whole world after the flood that these things will continue. The earth will continue and seed time and harvest will continue. And so the things we need to realize is that in our lives that God has created a pattern for us to be able to plant, which is called sowing, and reaping and plucking up what's being sowed. Matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, it says, to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the heaven. It's not our purposes. It's God's purpose. It's the purpose of heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. God created it, and he takes away. You know, we don't want to be in this physical earth forever, but we want to be with the Lord. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And Genesis actually holds the key to the seed and plant, sowing and reaping. When he created the earth, he said that as he created everything, that he put its seed in itself. Genesis 1 through 11 through 13. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb bearing seed and fruit tree and yielding fruit and after his kinds, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So the purpose of the reason for this pattern is that when we plant certain seeds, we're expecting a certain crop. And I'm not going to go just on that one piece. I'm going to go in a little bit out because there's different types of seeds. And there's two buckets of these seeds, which we'll look at all of them. First, there's the natural seed, and then there's the spiritual seed. And then there's actually three categories of seed: good, bad, and mixed. I was actually going to say the good, bad, and ugly for the title of this message, because ugly actually is a distortion of what something was originally created to be, but, and it doesn't mean just the physical looks of the characteristics, but what it actually means. But I changed it to what the actual message is about: good, bad, and mixed seed. Now, as we know, when we looked at this pattern, every time a natural seed is planted, it has a result of some type of fruit. Every time a spiritual seed is planted, something happens in the natural. They actually affect each other. You can't do something in the natural and don't think it affects something spiritually, and vice versa. And sometimes we think that anything we do only affects me. That's never the case in the spiritual world. And God created this pattern. We found that God created everything when he finished it good. The way it was reproducing was good. But there's an enemy in the garden who also plants seed. His name is Satan, or the adversary, or the serpent. When Genesis 3, 1 through 5, it says, now the serpent was more subtile than any other beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He didn't say God didn't say that. He just planted that little seed in her. Let her doubt the word of God. And so he was asking for a confirmation. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees that are in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. It's the serpent said this to the woman afterwards. Ye shall not surely die. Now, this is not true. This is not really a 100% falsehood. You're not going to physically reap death at the time you eat of it. Physically. But spiritually and physically later, it will poison you and will kill you. So the word of lest you die is true, but if you look at just the immediate, if I touch it and eat it, it may not kill me now, but it may kill you later. And that's what he's talking about here. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. The word Elohim is the word used as gods here. It means people in charge or a dignitary. It's always pronounced as God. And you can usually tell the difference in your Bible from when it's talking about Elohim, the supreme God, because it's usually in bold, big G letters for God, and little letters like gods here. And this one's even plural, knowing both good and evil. The serpent sowed words of doubt into their lives, and Adam and Eve took the bait. It was a trap. They ate of the fruit, and the seed of that disobedience has lasted even until now. From now on, man has fallen from his spiritual state and from his natural state of living forever. Without another seed, which we'll talk about in a second, we would be in this earth just to live, die, and gone, completely destroyed. This is how the enemy works on our soul. He sets snares, traps. He uses words. He uses other people. And he sows seeds of fear, doubt. Oh, I'm not capable. I'm not able. Or envy. This was envy. You could be as gods. You know, you could be more than you are now. That allurement of unbelief, just waiting for someone to take the bait. Spiritually, God made a promise to the enemy. Most people think this is a blessing to the woman, but it was actually a curse to the enemy. The woman whom he deceived would be the instrument of the enemy's defeat. In verse 14 of Genesis 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above the cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head." So what he was saying, and a lot of people says, oh, the woman was so blessed because of this, and it was a blessing, but the thing is, it was more of a curse on the enemy. He was telling Satan, what you meant to be able to destroy my work in this garden, I'm going to use that same seed to destroy you. And that seed is of the woman that you deceived. That vessel that you use and you deceived to have Adam and Eve to eat that fruit, I'm going to use that vessel, and I'm making a spiritual promise now that in the future, this woman that you deceived, somewhere down the lineage, she's going to have a physical seed that is going to destroy your works. You're trying to destroy my works in this garden? I'm going to destroy your works forever. And that's a good promise to us when we think of that, even though it's a curse to the enemy. So there's seeds in the Bible are represented as many things, and we're going to look at the different illustrations because some of the things that we know is obvious, some of them are not so obvious sometimes. One that is very obvious is when we look at seeds, is if you were a farmer, you need to know how to plant the field, right? Or your seeds aren't going to grow. Right here, I have a little thing of spinach mustard seeds here. You know what's on the back of this? It's instructions, how to do thinning, how gardening hints, and how to plant a quick-growing variety. Well, we have instructions right here called God's Word of how we should be planting seeds. And it's very important that we follow this instruction book and also know what type of seeds we're planting at the time. So seeds is the Word of God. In Luke 8, 4 through 15, and I'm going to go through the first part pretty quick, and actually this whole scripture pretty quick, because it's a lot to go through, but it's going to come into play a little later on in the message. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come down out of every city, he spake by a parable." You notice when he spoke by a parable? When a lot of people were gathered together. "A sower went out to sow a seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears, let him hear.'" And I'm praying that right now. He that has ears, listen to what God is going to be saying to us in this message. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is known, given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and in hearing they might not understand.'" A seed sometimes is sown, but not understood by the soil that it's being planted in for its reasons or purpose. That's what this parable is about. Some of these people will become believers later on. Some of them are not now. So they're going to get a part of a message, and they're going to understand it later, because God's going to work with that seed that's planted, that he's actually planting at that time, and he's going to allow it to start growing in these people, because he just told you the types of hearts that it needs to be prepared. Some will receive it with joy. Some people are not going to receive it at all. But it's going to be in God's time. Some of it actually is there, but it hasn't grown yet. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's what I said. The first illustration is the seed is the word of God. "And those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil," just like with Eve, "the seed that was taken away, and he taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." You see what he's doing? He did the same thing. Eve heard the words of God. It may have been through Adam or not. I know a lot of people say that, but they were still the word of God. "You should not touch the tree in the midst of the garden." She knew she wasn't supposed to do that. She knew that 100%. But the devil came to take away the seed that was sown. And so the seed's not bad. The seed is good. This seed is good. It's God's word. Since he cannot really physically take the seed away, what he's going to do is try to destroy the vessel that it's sown into. And so he says, "Lest they should believe and be saved." And I can go through all this, but I just wanted to get that the seed is one illustration is the seed is the word of God. Another one we see is the seed is the kingdom of God. In Mark 4:26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God as a man that casts a seed to the ground." This is all good seed we're talking about today. But you do not see that everybody that receives a seed or has contact with the seeds has the best results. And as if a man casts seed to the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Do you know how the kingdom of God grows up by itself? How God actually allows these seeds that are planted in other people's life actually come to fruition, where you actually have people that are believers and part of the family of God? Everybody has different testimonies. They're not all the same. God brought people through to the kingdom of God many different ways, yet it's still the same seed. The seed is still the word of God. And it's about getting into the kingdom of God. And here it's talked about the kingdom of God. It grows that same way as that seed. Little by little. Here a little, there a little. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then the ear, and after that the full corn of ear. But when the fruit was brought forth immediately, he putteth the sickle, because the harvest is come." You know, when we all grow and mature into the body of Christ, when the last person who accepts Yeshua as their Lord, guess what? that sickle's coming through. He's going to take his people home. And I'm going to tell you what right now, that is the harvest. That is the harvest that God's waiting for. But as long as there's one person out there that will still accept the Lord as Savior and accept His grace, He's not going to throw forth that sickle because the harvest is not ready yet. And when he said this, he said, "What should we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard." I got spinach mustard seeds here. So, and these things are small. I can't even hardly get it out of the package. It's in my little fingernail there. And so, I mean, it's like, I think I lost it, Pastor. Anyhow, that's how small it is. But you know what? It grows to be a huge fruit that people can eat from. It's like a grain of mustard seed when it is sown into the earth is less than any of the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs. Unfortunately, this is a herb. That's different. And they shooteth out its great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge in it and under the shadow of it. One thing that's interesting when we look at seeds, how many people have problems with weeds? We all do. And they're all done by seeds too. Do you know that regardless of what you do, sometimes when you plant things and you'll try to get rid of them, you can even cement over them and they'll find a little bitty crack and still come up. So it's just very interesting that life does not want to die. God has created it that way. It's going to try to persist in itself. So another one is the seed as faith. However many people probably have heard this one 1,000 times. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in Luke 17, 4 through 6 a day, and 7 times in a day, and turn again to thee and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. After the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And he said, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a, I can't find that grain, but that grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and be thou planted in the seed, and it shall obey you. Just that little seed. So we see that seed does not necessarily mean just the word of God. It can mean many different things. The kingdom of God. It could be the word of God. It could be faith. And there's some other illustrations we can actually look. But these are all good seeds. But the thing is, we've got to follow the instruction book. These are all good seeds, and God provides the seeds, and He scatters them everywhere. He uses us at times to scatter them. And it will grow where it's planted when it is in the correct soil. But it is up to those who receive the good seed to ensure that it continues to grow. Did you hear me? It is up to you or to the person receiving the seed to be able to make sure it's getting watered, that you're daily in the Word of God, you're in prayer. It cannot grow by itself. It has to have some type of nourishment somewhere. And that it not get corrupted. Okay? Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto you, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We can probably have a message just on that. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. It may be that little grain of mustard seed faith. You got that as a believer. Once you came to Yeshua, He's given you that. And now it's up to you to make sure it grows. Galatians 6 through 1 through 10 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault. Anybody ever been overtaken in a fault? I mean, I think we all have. If you've been walking, trying to walk a spiritual life, you'll find lots of times you'll go on your own and you'll fail. To restore such a man, one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him be him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Everybody usually hears this without what I just said before. There is a purpose for the reason I'm going to say what I'm saying before. Is he's talking about this has to be done in love. But he says, God is not mocked, for what a man soweth, that shall he reap. But if you do not read the message above, talking about restoring one another, doing it in love and joy, this becomes something of just talking about finances, prosperity. It's talking about restoration. It's talking about the love of God. It's talking about doing the works of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption. Seed would be corrupted. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall in the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a promise. That's a promise. But here's another thing. And we have therefore, and as we have opportunities, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. That we need to take care of our brothers and sisters first. Take care of your own physical family, then your extended family in the church, then afterwards to other brothers and sisters, and then after that, the rest of the world. If we can help our other brothers and sisters, they're helping us, we're all in the same work together, we'll have more to be able to help others in the world. We talked about good seed so far. And we've seen some things that talks about if good seed fails, that you will reap what you sow, because you did not let that good seed come to fruition to good fruit. But there is bad seed. And that's where we're going to take you now. Sowing what you reap works two ways. If you sow bad seed into the ground, your crop will be poor, or have bad fruit, or you'll have no fruit at all. Luke 6:43-49 says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Did you hear that? Corrupt fruit. If it's a good tree from good seed, and it's been planted correctly, it's not going to bring corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns, men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of the treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, the Bible does tell us not to judge other people. That means condemn. But he says, you will know them by their fruits. You know, a big business term right now is we got to get these low-hanging fruits. I'm sort of sick of hearing it. I mean, almost every meeting I go to, it's like, oh, getting the low-hanging fruit, the ones that's right in front of you. But is it any good? Just because it's big, does it taste good? Is it ripe? That's what we were talking about before. There's a time for plucking up. You don't pluck it up too soon or the fruit's not ripe. So we need to make sure that the seeds that are grown in our heart are the correct one and not corrupted. Just like the garden, not all fruit is good, or not at the time. If someone eats the wrong fruit, guess what? Could be poison. Not only can it not taste good, it could be poisonous. It could kill you. Or it can leave you in a physical state worse than you were before. That's why it's very important that you have the right type of fruit or even the right type of medicine. Somebody ever get a wrong type of medicine, what happens? I know that's happened to quite a few people here. It may even taste like good fruit. And you may be able, and the worst thing is, oh, this is good. You pass it to somebody else. So it tastes good, but it's poisonous. So you may be hurting others as well if you have a corrupt fruit. Next, we want to talk about mixed seed. What is mixed seed? Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 12. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seed, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. I have no idea why, but I guess they don't work good together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as a woolen or a linen together. Thou shalt make fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture wherewith thou coverest thyself. And we understand that what that means is talking about a representation of the law, that you will not forget God's laws. But why does it matter that you have seed together and just don't throw it in the ground? Why would mixed seed be an issue? That doesn't make sense, does it? Well, it doesn't unless you start looking at some of the ramifications. There's several of them. Have you ever heard the old saying, it takes only one bad apple to spoil the bunch? Well, that's what we talked about, corrupt seed. But remember, God created everything to produce after its own kind, not after different kinds. We just talked about different trees bringing only its own type of fruit. An apple tree is going to bring back apples. Pear trees only going to bring back pears. But if they're doing something like they're doing now, you got something called hybrids. Hybrid seeds right now is basically mixing seed to try to become up a bigger and better crop as far as it. Only one problem with that. In a hybrid seed, it's just like a donkey. It can't reproduce by itself. The law that God made is the seed is in itself and it will reproduce after itself. They do not reproduce. They have to take an existing seed that God has already made on this earth and to be able to use it. Then we have what you called GMOs, genetically modified seeds. And here in the lab, it doesn't even have to be of another seed they mix together. They may mix seeds of an amoeba, a chromosome there, to make the pests not want to eat this seed over there. And again, we have no idea because they say, oh, it's the same type of seed. So I use an apple seed and I mix something in it to make them bigger apples. And it keeps the pests away. If it kills the bugs, what is it doing to you? Let me think about that. And not only that, like I said, with these hybrids, they do not reproduce after themselves. What happens with right now, 85% of our grocery stores are of some type of hybrid for the seeds? 85%. So you're looking at another 15% of what we would call organic or natural seed, which has to be created to be able to make these hybrids. So let me ask you a question on these. If we start using more of the hybrid seeds, what happens to the natural seeds? If our farmers are planting all these type of seeds, how are we reproducing natural seeds? Can we say man-made famine coming up? Because we start looking at these seeds thinking that they're going to be the supply? But our farmers are actually planting inferior seed that's not going to be able to reproduce on its own. Oh, that's scary, I think. So even when we look at this, there's other things we need to look at too. Another thing is, why not mix seeds? Okay, I got barley, and I got wheat. The seeds look very much alike, but one's more expensive than the other. Cost a little bit more than the other. I mix them together, and I sell them to you at one price. I'm cheating you of the real cost of the seed. And I'm not supposed to be cheating my brother and my sister. So if you're going to be planting it, we may need to make sure we're not mixing the seed. And this also goes to spiritual implications, because we've been talking a lot about natural seed and spiritual. We're also talking about mixing our faith. You can't mix your faith together. Because if you start mixing faith and doctrines, you'll find out your traditions, and I'll talk about this in a little bit later on, will destroy the Word of God planted. Next thing, seed is people. You know, you guys, you know we're people? In Matthew chapter 13, 24 through 30, we're going to see a good and a bad people. And it's actually mixed seed again. Another parable he put to them forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householders came and said unto him, sir, did you sow bad seed? Did you sow good seed in the field? Basically, did you sow bad seed? And whence these tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Automatically knowing that, it's pretty interesting, because I probably wouldn't know what seed I would put in the ground. This is a farmer. He knows what he's planting. But he says, then his servant said, without that we go gather it, go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them as burn them in the bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat in his barns. He is talking about the last days. This is what's going to happen to us in the last days. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are growing up as light in this world, but we are in a dark world as well. And there are people that are in darkness, and we too need to walk in that light and let our light shine before men. The reason for this is that we cannot change the seed planted, but we are the representation of the true seed and those who repent. Let me tell you something. Every one of you were first originally, through Adam and Eve, bad seed. Because that seed was corrupted through the disobedience of sin. And that sin came down the line from my father before him, all the way down to Adam. But there is a righteous seed, and that came through that curse of that serpent. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin, and he, because he was not corrupted, his seed was not corrupted because no man was in the making of him, but he came through Mary, through that of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And because of that incorruptible seed, we too can be grafted in to the righteous tree of Yeshua. And so we now have hope. And so those people that are bad tares among us can have that hope because they see it in you. Let your light shine. So with these types of seeds, and I was talking about how you cultivate it, the enemy's done this. Out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is why it is important to know what we put in our spirit, following the instruction book. Mark 4:24, and he said, take heed what you hear and what you shall meet. It shall be measured unto you again, and unto you that hear much more shall be given. If you're relying on other books besides the Word of God for your faith, you're looking in the wrong book. If you're relying on other gods besides the God that created the heavens and earth, and I know there's a lot of other gods, false gods out there that claim that same claim, but the one that is the one spoken of the Bible, the one that we call Jehovah, you're looking at the wrong God. Yes, I read other books, but I confirm them with what this Word says. And that's very important. Be careful what you hear, even what you're hearing from me, because if you don't go back and have the care of your spirit, to strengthen your spirit by checking the things out, anybody can fool you. And I don't want you to do that. Go look it up. I'm giving Bible references, and every other preacher you ever hear, you should be checking out. Be careful what you hear. And are we perfect when we preach the word? No. There's something wrong? Let us know. We'll look it up. We'll pray about it. We'll pray together. But you know what? We're going to do it in meekness and in the love of the Spirit. We're not here to try to defile anybody. We're not here to try to destroy anybody's faith. Some people think doing small things and mixing, when we're talking about mixing, that it's okay. But Yeshua talked about talking about clothing a little bit, not to put a new cloth on an old garment, for which he put in the full garment, it will make the rent worse. So it needs to be like, that's mixing again. Some people think sins do not affect them or the others around them, but they actually do. Take these words as they say, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Corrupt means the word destroy or decay or dying, just like the bad apple we talked about. 1 Corinthians 5, 5-6 says to us that when we see other people that are called a brother, that we need to make sure that we have not fellowship with those who do this thing. And, you know, a lot of people think when they sin, you know, it's just a little light lie. It's not going to hurt nobody. Or have you ever said something and somebody took it the wrong way? Have you? But it sounded better when they said it, so you let them believe that that's the way it was? Has that ever happened? I know it's happened with me a few times, and I know I've done it a few times, but still a lie. Even though you didn't physically say it with your mouth, if you let them believe it knowing it's wrong, guess what? It's a lie. And it's just a little one, right? But like I was saying in 1 Corinthians 5, 5-6, to deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Their glorying is not good, knowing you that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It's just a little leaven. It's a little seed. It's a little lie. And I was not saying this was a different situation with saying delivering Satan. It's just part of the same text. But it's just to let you know how sin corrupts. It starts with a little one and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Usually it starts with one lie, or then it continues getting bigger and bigger and bigger. James 2:8 through 11 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Will you lie to your neighbor? Would you cheat your neighbor? Huh? Is that how much you love your neighbor? You do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. Uh-oh. One point? One little white lie? One little speeding, breaking the law? Stopping at a stop sign that you shouldn't have? I'm talking to my son about that. Just we have a weird stop sign by the church that says stop except for right turn only. And so you're not supposed to stop at that stop sign for some reason. And sometimes old habits are hard to break. But anyhow, and you know, that I got a ticket not too long ago, about a few years ago, for speeding. And you know what? I was speeding. But even if I wasn't, would I argue about it? No, because I'm sure there's quite a few times that I wasn't looking at that speedometer, and I have done it before, because I've looked at it and says, oops, I need to slow down. I'm going too fast. And I'm just not paying attention like I should. So I'm not going to argue that unless I'm getting way, he's saying 100 miles an hour, 5 miles. And sometimes you do things by accident like that. But it's still a transgression of the law. That's man's law. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Do not commit. Now, if thou commit no adultery, but if you kill, you're still a transgressor of the law. And here I go again. And I go to lying because it's probably the one that hits most people's lives more. Stealing people's pencils at work and stuff. You know, some people, they don't even realize it most of the time, but that happens quite often. It's stealing. Let me share with you what Revelations 21, 7 through 8 says. And most people do not like this. It says, he that overcometh to the end shall inherit all things. Oh, praise God, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, that's so great news. Do you want to hear the rest of this? I don't think so. I thought I heard that. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth forever and with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. All adulterers. Does that mean I told a lie, I'm going to hell? Not if it's under the blood. Not if it's under the blood. Liars, if you notice the word liars, is a present tense word. Are you still a liar? Or have you confessed of that sin and it's been put behind you? You see that? It's not what you did in the past, it's are you now. That means you're a continual liar, you're a continual whoremonger, you're still in the witchcraft. These are people that are still doing those things. But if you come to the Lord, you are no longer this. You are a new creature in Christ. Who do you spend your time with? As I just talked about, Rabbi Shul said to come out from among them, talking about the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Ephesians 5, 11 through 12, which I hinted at earlier, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to those things to speak of those things which are done in the secret. And even for those that are considered brothers as well. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We hear that with wet marriage, but it's not just for marriage. It's for your whole life. It means that fellowship. It's not saying you don't have to work with them. It doesn't mean that you don't have your regular dealings with them. But it means that your fellowship can only go so far with them because they are unbelievers. I'm not going to go to a bar with an alcoholic. I will go there to the alcoholic to be able to not just reprove them, but to bring them out of it, to be able to minister to them because I love them as Christ loved us. And that's the same thing, but I'm not going to participate in those practices. Okay, so we need to realize that part of our job is ministry in the Word of God. The harvest will be great. And the greater it's going to be is because of the faithful servants he has here, the faithful servants he has out in this world doing their work. But if they're conforming to the world, there is not going to be that great of a harvest, at least under their ministry. You guys ready for this? I'm on my last page. Praise God. Last thing we want to talk about is traditions. Traditions. Yeshua said that your traditions have made the word of God of non-effect, or the good seed planted no good. Traditions are normally inherited from family, nationality, religious doctrines, or from institutions such as denominations and synagogues. In Jeremiah 16, 19 through 21, it says, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge, in the day of my afflictions, the Gentiles come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, and things that are no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself that are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yehovah, or Yehovah. Ain't that great? You know, the thing is, in the church, we have a lot of doctrines. We have a lot of traditions. We celebrate things sometimes that came from pagan backgrounds. But the thing is, we will realize one day when Yeshua comes, we had inherited lives from our fathers. And you know what? He's going to restore all things to the way they should be. And you know what? Some of the doctrines that churches teach are not in agreement with what the Bible says. And when we look at these things, we will be reproved of them. And we will be just like these people here in Jeremiah. We will begin repenting for our sins. How is this done? Continuing with Jeremiah and then Hosea. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come like your fire and burn that none quencheth. It is because of the evils of your doing. You may have good seed, but it is in good soil. Are you a vessel that God can plant His Holy Spirit in and give you salvation? You have to make that choice. Pastor, a priest, nobody else can make that for you. In Hosea 10, 12, it reiterates this. Sow yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up the fallow ground. A broken and a contrite spirit, God will not reject. And seek the Lord, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. The time of salvation is now. And if you're hearing me and listening to this on DVD or on the internet, you may think that you are of no consequences, that you cannot receive the forgiveness of God. That is not true. He's given you everything into your hands to say, I give up and I accept your love. He's not going to force you to do it. But you have to break that fallow ground. Forget all the pride. Forget everything you've done. And ask Him into your life and He'll take away those sins. Just say, Father, forgive me, a sinner. I ask, Lord, that you make yourself real to me, that you would come into my life, heal my hurts, heal my sickness, heal my disease, and take away my sins that has corrupted the seed that you planted in my heart. Father, I just pray for each person here and those that's listening right now, Father, that the seed planted today will come to fruition. As we know, this is all yours, Lord. One plants, one waters, but you give the increase.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.